the clicker's broke, so I'm gonna have to use stay up here. You know, I feel like I got a chain on this podium that I can't move too far. So if I dance back to the podium, you'll know why. Right and wrong, we're gonna talk about that a lot this morning. Right and wrong is something that in the world today can be kind of confusing if you're not careful. I mean, when you think about right and wrong used to be you knew exactly what it was. You knew what right and wrong was. You knew it because it was put in you by your parents or whoever. You just knew what it was. And as times have went along, sometimes it started to become vague. I mean, when we ask what is right and wrong today, it's like, what is right and wrong? I mean, it just depends on who you ask nowadays. I mean, if you're outside of this building, if you're outside the body of Christ, right and wrong really depends on who you ask. I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. It used to be wrong to tell a lie, right? No matter what the situation was, when I was growing up, a lie was a lie was a lie. It didn't matter what flavor it was. It didn't matter how you said it. It didn't matter in what context it was. If you were telling a lie, or as my mother and dad would say sometimes, telling tales, then it was going to be a problem. It's going to be consequences for it. Now, we can't say that in our society today. And this is not something that was just adopted by the church. This is not what God just said years ago. It used to be, this was just known in this country, around the world, that lying was wrong. You didn't have to be going to church every Sunday to realize that that lying was wrong. That's just the way that it was. But now, it just depends on who you ask. You look in society, some people are being told or being, hey, in this situation, it's okay to lie. In this situation, on your taxes, don't worry about it, just lie. If they catch it, don't worry about it. You know, just we'll deal with that later. Hopefully they won't catch up. I've even heard people say, if they don't catch it, it's not a lie. That is being taught to folks today. Now, I just don't know that to be the truth. Right and wrong is something that God gave us from the very beginning. We're going to spend some time talking about that. Trust and Perfection, Part 2, God's Version of Right and Wrong. Thank you for the scripture reading. You know, from the very beginning, God established what a right and wrong was. From the very beginning. I'll give you a couple things here. Genesis 2 and 17, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For that day, if you eat from it, you'll surely die. Now he told them, Adam and Eve, look, don't you eat of this tree because I said so. He didn't have to give a whole bunch of reasons, but he said, you know what? Don't eat of this tree because I said that you shouldn't do it. That was the right way because God is right. And if you look in Genesis 3 and 6, when the women saw that the tree was good for food, and that was a delight to her eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from it and ate. And she gave also to her husband, and he ate. They ate of that tree, even though God said, don't eat of that tree. From the very beginning, God said, don't do this. And then they went and did it anyway. And that was wrong. And that's why you'll see in Genesis 3 and 14, the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this. And he goes on to the woman and to the man and says this as well, because you have done this, I'm going to give you this punishment. He was saying, you were wrong. I told you to do something and you just decided not to do it. That was absolutely wrong and I'm not going to have it. And he issued out this punishment. From the very beginning, things were right and wrong. There's a right way to do things. There's absolutely a wrong way to do things. And there's some things that God said way back then that are absolutely pertinent to us right now. What about murder? Murder was wrong then. It's not like God said murdering somebody is wrong and it's just wrong for this season. God said murdering somebody is wrong and it's going to be wrong forever. It's not going to be a time that comes along when murder is acceptable. I say that tongue in cheek, but murder is wrong. We shouldn't be doing it. You look at Genesis 4, 8, and 9. Cain told Abel, his brother. It came about when they were in the field, and Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, killed him. He killed him right there because of the things that he did. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother? And he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? You'll read there that he was punished for that. You can't go around murdering folks because God said so. And there's a clear definition of what is right and what is wrong. And murder isn't just wrong then. I mean, in the law back then, murder was wrong even now. In Luke 23, 25, and he released the man they were asking who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder. When Jesus was going to the cross, he released the man that was committed of murder. It is wrong. Always has been. Always will be. Now, we talked about murder, and we talked about a couple other things, but now I want to talk about lying. Because it was always wrong then, it's always going to be wrong now. Whoever said if you put, you know, you cross your hands behind your fingers behind your back that it's not so bad. I remember folks saying that. I'm serious about it. I remember folks saying that. If you just put your cross your fingers like that and put it behind your back, then you're not really telling a lie. I don't know where that came from, but that in itself is a lie. Can't just put your fingers behind your back and make it just go away. That's just not the truth. Lying is wrong. Leviticus 19 and 11 says, you shall not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie to one another. God said it all the way back then that we shall not be doing this. This is bad stuff. This is right and wrong. This is what God has prescribed. And even if you look in the New Testament, Colossians 3 and 9, do not lie to one another since you laid aside the old self with evil practices. Lying has always been wrong. It always will be wrong. But today, and we'll talk about this later, the lines are just so blurred now, church. And we'll get to why we don't need to have the lines blurred. We need to make sure that when we talk about God and what he has said to do, there's a specific reason why God gave us his right and his wrong. And we as Christians, we should really be trying to figure out what God has said about this right and what's wrong. And let me tell you, it's not just about lying. It's not just about murdering. It's a whole bunch of things. Stealing. You should not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie to one another. Leviticus 19 and 11. There's so many things that God has laid out for the way that we should live. Homosexuality. It talks about that. Leviticus 20 and 13. I can just go on and on and on and on to the things that God has said. But we should know without a shadow of a doubt that God has stated what is right and wrong. How fair would it be for him to say, I'm going to hold you to this standard and I'm not even going to tell you about it? What kind of God would that be to say, I'm going to make salvation based off of what I've said and I'm not going to tell you about it? How fair would that be? That's not the way that God dealt with us. He told us clearly what was right and what was wrong. But here's the part about it that a lot of folks don't want to hear. Sometimes it's even hard for me to hear, my beloved brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, is that I don't get to have a say in what is right and what's wrong. That's hard for me sometimes because I want to say that, you know what, that's not that bad because I want to do it. But God never said that you or I or anybody get to have a say in what's right and wrong. I stand up here and I preach. Chad stands up here and he preaches. Jim gets up here and says things from time to time. It doesn't matter what we say. If God said it's right, it's right. If God said it's wrong, it's wrong. One of the reasons why we have handouts, one of the reasons why we do all these things is because you can go look yourself to see if what we're saying is according to God's word. Shouldn't trust me or Chad or Jim or anybody for your salvation. Shouldn't be trusting anybody on TV for your salvation. Go look it up yourself. That's why God gave it to us clear right here in black and white so that we can go see it. And let me tell you something about God's right and wrong. One thing I love about God's right and wrong, something that we all should just be comforted by, is God's right and wrong just doesn't change. How many times do you see a right situation now and then tomorrow is something completely different? It depends on who's looking at it. We'll talk about that a little bit later, but we should be thankful. Just realize if we're going to talk about salvation, if we're going to say my salvation is based off of me acting a certain way according to what God has said, then we should be very thankful that his right and wrong does not change. Because if it did, how would we know where we're going? How would we know what we're doing? But we should be very thankful that we could pick up this book and say, you know what, I can look and see how I'm doing. Look at this picture that's coming up on the screen. You'll notice on the top there that there's this lady sitting there on the left side of the screen, and there's a beautiful tree there and some stuff. Then the reflection off the water is a little bit different. See, the world is saying that the reflection off the water is the truth as well, is what God's right and wrong is as well. And if you look at it, it's drastically different. But it looks kind of the same when you look at it from just, when you just glance at it, you're like, well, you know, the top and the bottom is not that much different. But once you study it, it is night and day different. And what's out there today are things that are designed, I'm telling you, that are designed to make us think that it's not that much different from what God has said to do. But when you examine it, it's not even close. When you examine God's word to what we're seeing out there today, it's not even close, church. We have to be careful. We have to be studied up. We have to be prayed up. We have to be all of these things. We're talking about it in Bible class today. We have to be all of these things when it comes down to God. We cannot go out there and evangelize, for one, if we don't know God's word. But number two, we can't be prepared to deal with things like this if we don't know God's word. Just glancing at it, it may look kind of similar, but it's not close at all. It's drastically different. And God's right and wrong is a sharp contrast. Like, there is no blurred lines. It's a sharp contrast to what's going on in the world today. When you see something that's new, you tend to get excited. Now, me, when I walk in the store and I see one of these signs, it's like I'm walking and I see it. I'm like, whoa, what's that? They got something new gadget that I can get. They got something new that I could, you know, pick up, or new tool or whatever. I'm really, like, weak for new things that you could put in the microwave. I don't know what it is. You know, you put bacon in the microwave or whatever. I'm weak for that kind of stuff. If I see a new sign, I'm like, we got to get it. I mean, it's, never mind. We have this a lot today with right and wrong. There's this new way of looking at God's word. There's this new, like the way that we've been doing it is like, that's kind of old school. We need this, let me tell you what we need. We need this new way of looking at right and wrong. Because the right and wrong, the way that God had it back then and the way that people have been doing it for all these years, like that's old school. We don't need that. We need a new way of right and wrong. This right and wrong here is way better than the other right and wrong. And I'm telling you, if we fall into that, we're being deceived. There is no new version of right and wrong. The only version of right and wrong is what God has said, and that doesn't change at all. We shouldn't look at it like if somebody comes along with this new interpretation. You know, I hear this all the time when I talk to folks. There's your interpretation of this is kind of dated. You know, like, I mean, your interpretation of this is kind of like black and white. But, you know, I've been talking to some people that probably studied the Bible for a good 10 or 15 minutes, and they came up with this different interpretation, and it's way better than what God has to say. And if you think about it in that context, that is nonsense. God's right and wrong doesn't have to be new because it's perfect. You don't need to fix perfection. And we'll talk about why it's perfect in here in just a moment. But before we get to that, I want to tell you why a lot of this is going on. It's because people and their feelings and their emotions and the way that they see things. How many times are you in a situation where you're like, you know what? This would be really good if this wasn't wrong for me. You know, you're in a situation, you know full well that it's wrong. Like you know it. Like there's no way I should be doing this. And because you're wrapped up into it with your emotions, I'm not just talking about you, I'm talking about me. I'm a human being too. You stand up here and preach, but I have a bunch of flaws. Just you know what I'm talking about. You're in a situation like, man, I know that's wrong. But then you start thinking about all the circumstances that go along with it. Well, if it wasn't so bad, then maybe I could do it. If it wasn't wrong, then this could make life a whole lot easier for me and my family. If it wasn't wrong, then my day would go a whole lot better. And when we start thinking about that, if we start pairing what God's word is, like if we start attaching that to the way that we feel about it, then we have reached a point that is a real, real slippery slope. Our feelings and what God has to say should be like so far apart it's not even funny. Like, it shouldn't even be in the same sentence. It shouldn't even be like close together at all. It should be completely different. But because of our feelings, because of our emotions, because of a lot of those things, we get in trouble sometimes. The world gets in trouble sometimes. I'll tell you something else that has something to do with too, self-justification. I want to be right. I want to be right. In this situation, I want to be not wrong in the sense that I'm doing what I want to do, but I want to go, you know, make me right. I want to make myself right, and that is also dangerous. Making yourself right, what does that do for us? We'll talk about that in a second. What does it do to make yourself right? Well, I mean, to whose standard is that right? Let me tell you, if you ask me about Buck being right, like, I could always make myself right. It did. After my wife would tell me all the time, she's like, you know what? I don't like talking to you controllers because you get out of stuff so fast because, you know, you're used to changing the situation. And before you know it, you flipped it around. We can do that all the time if we wanted to. We can make the situation right for us if we just wanted to. It doesn't take much practice. And I want you to understand that self-justification, trying to make ourselves right, again, what is the goal in that? Don't just look at this on the screen and say self-justification is a treacherous servant. I get it. Don't just look at it like that. Look at it like inwardly. Like, have I ever been in a situation where I'm just trying to justify myself, make myself right, and what does that look like? Have I ever been in a situation where I know full well that maybe I should be doing something different, but just for the sake of this, I'm going to make myself right? It's dangerous to do that. There is no good that comes from that. Change is something that happens too much when it comes down to right and wrong. Like we were talking about, there are laws. I want you to think about this from a legal system standpoint. Of how many laws were there 50 years ago? 50 years ago, not that long ago, right? 50 years ago, Anita's smiling at me. 50 years ago is not that long ago. That's like half of Chad's age. 50 years ago. I'm sorry. That slipped out. But that's not that long ago. And then you look at the law then versus what the law is now. I can think of so many examples where it's completely different. The laws are just completely different. It used to be completely frowned upon to do certain things, and now we got stores that are selling things that used to be just outlawed 50 years ago. You wouldn't even think anything about mentioning it in the public circle. And now, 50 years later, we got stores that say, just come on in. We got people waving people in, and it's changed just that fast. Man, all glory to God that we don't have to worry about our salvation changing like that. Because I'd be just scared to death if I had to worry about my salvation changing based off of something or somebody else. Good today, wrong tomorrow is something that is just dangerous. I want to talk about something else, though. We've talked about the internet a lot, and I talk about the internet in a lot of my lessons for a reason, is because we always have a smartphone. We always have something on our hip that we can get a hold of. I want you to think about this. If you are at work, if you are, taking a jog, or if you're in the grocery store and something happens to you and you get so frustrated and you're like, why did this person do this to me? You want to know something that's really dangerous? It's being able to pick up a phone or go on the internet and get 2 million people that agree with you. That's dangerous. Because I've been in situations before where it's like, man, that is dead wrong. And, you know, just being in a fit of anger, we'll talk about anger tonight, but being in a fit of anger, it's like, man, that's wrong. They shouldn't have did that. And I go get on my phone, and I'm like, let me look and see who else feels like this. And you get all these people out there, yeah, I agree with you. It's wrong for them to do that. Before you know it, like, yeah, they're wrong. And that whole process, nobody stopped to look at what does God's word say about that being right or that being wrong? That's dangerous to be able to get somebody to agree with you that fast. Didn't used to happen that way. Sometimes I wish it wasn't that way right now, but it is. That is dangerous, outright dangerous, to get people to agree with you that fast. You can find somebody to agree with you just about anything right now. Dangerous thing. I'm going to transition to everything that God creates is powerful. Everything. Like, when you just think about God's power, I say to people sometimes, if we knew how powerful he was, we wouldn't treat him the way that we do sometimes. If we just knew how powerful this God that created everything is, like if we just stopped to really think about like how powerful it is for somebody to literally like say words and things happen, like the creation of the world. Like I know that we read that sometimes. Like, and I get up here and say it sometimes, and I say it so fast, the God that created heavens and the earth. But he literally just said something, and then all of this organization came into being, and it was perfect. Like when we realize how powerful something like that is, then man, like everything that comes from him must be powerful, even including his right and his wrong, because it can do things that we can't do. And so when we look at it like that, like this God that's so powerful did all these things, then we'll look like, oh, his right and wrong must have a purpose. God just doesn't do things just to do it. Like, you know what? I made a right and wrong just so I can, you know, torture these people on earth. You know, I made a right and wrong just so they can, you know, walk around and have something to struggle against all this time. No, he didn't do that. He had a purpose, and his purpose was to come back for us to be with him. That's what this right and wrong is about. This right and wrong is just not about being different from the world. This right and wrong is just not about, you know, you struggling or me struggling. This right and wrong is about I want my people to come be with me, and I have to provide them a way because they can't do it for themselves. That's what his right and wrong is about. That's what a God that is so powerful that spoke everything into existence, that's what he is all about. He's like, I want these people to be with me so bad that I'm going to give them a right and wrong, even when they fail, and we'll talk about this just a second, even when they fail, they can still come be with me. Now, that is a right and wrong. You know, when you look at right and wrong, when you look at right in the Bible, it's all about being righteous. Righteous, right, proper, God standards. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about being righteous. Just a legal standing. Technical is what he's talking about there. That is what God is wanting for us. He's wanting his righteousness for us. I'll give an example, and we talked about this in Luke 18, where the Pharisee and the tax collector there, and the Pharisee is standing there with his version of right. He's saying, I'm doing all these things right. And then the tax collector over there has the right heart and the right attitude about it. And Jesus says the Pharisee is the one who went away, not justified before God. A guy standing there saying, you know, I feel like this and I'm doing this. He is saying, God, these are all the things that I'm justifying myself with to be right before you. Think about it. This man is standing there praying to God, somebody who's supposed to be a God elect is standing there saying, God, these are the things that I'm doing to be right before you. And Jesus says, this man is not justified before me. He's not right before me. Not at all. Romans 10:10, for with the heart a person believes resulting in righteousness. Why does Paul say that? With the heart a person believes resulting in righteousness. Is it possible for us to walk around every day and do the right thing? Because we talked about all this right and wrong that God has said in this Bible, and it was a lot of it. If you go back and look through all the Bible and all the things, there are so many things that we're supposed to be doing right and wrong. Is it possible for us to go through that, the whole Bible, and do it right all the time? The answer to that is no. The only person who could do that is Jesus. I'm going to give you an example. Imagine you were a judge. You're in a courtroom, and you have to decide the fate of a death row case. The lawyer presents the evidence. Hey, judge, let me tell you what happened. This guy was coming out of the grocery store. It's late at night. There's no cameras. He's in a small town. He's coming out of the grocery store. When the police showed up, there was this guy standing there with a gun in his hand, and there was a dead guy on the ground. And the lawyer tells the judge, hey, judge, the reason why he killed him is because he killed him in cold blood. The man was just walking, and the guy came out of the grocery store, saw him, and shot him. Boom, he's dead there on the ground. Well, you want to know what the guy said that shot him? He says, you know what? The reason why I shot him, judge, is because he was coming at me. He said, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to wrestle you and kill you. Mind you, this is a big old guy like me. You know, he's coming at this little small guy, and he's like, I'm going to kill you. So he pulls out his gun, and he shoots him. But there's no cameras. There's no witnesses. There's no any of that. So this judge is like, what do I do? How do I decide the fate of this person? All I know is I got a dead guy on the ground, one guy saying he killed him because he was charging him. You know, he was afraid for his life. But there's no witnesses. There's no nothing. How am I going to decide the fate of this person? And then the judge is like in a predicament. What would you do in that situation? Because if you say he's innocent, he's going free forever. He could have killed this guy just because he wanted to kill him. Or he could have really been mean. Or really could have been scared. All the possibilities are there. How else would you know unless you knew the guy's heart? See, we have a God out there, right, that his right and wrong is a little bit different than ours. See, we only can see our right and wrong in just one dimension of, like, what is technically right and what is technically wrong. But we have a God that's so great and so powerful that can look at our intentions and say, you know what, based off of your intentions, I still deem you right even though you did wrong. Now, that is a perfected way of dealing with right and wrong. Amen? That is a way of dealing with right and wrong that even though you make mistakes, he's looking at the long haul and saying, you know what? I forgive you for that because I know you're trying your best. That is a way of right and wrong that I want to deal with. Because if everything that I did was accounted against me as wrong, everything, then I'd be in bad shape. But God is saying that I know that you're going to mess up sometimes. And legally, you are wrong. Legally, you are wrong. You did wrong. But because I love you so much, I'm going to give you my son. And even though you did wrong, I'm going to make you right because you believed in me. It's exactly what he did with Abraham, and that's exactly what he's doing with us. And we should be thankful for that. Better than perfect. Romans 2 and 16, on that day when according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Christ Jesus. The secrets of men, he's going to judge. All the things that may not be seen, he's going to judge the contents of our heart. And I just say that is so powerful to think about. We have a God that's going to do that, that his scale is a little bit different than ours. We can only judge what we see. We can only judge the technical part of it. We cannot judge the contents of a man's heart. And I'm so thankful that God can judge my heart based off of what I do, as well as he knows that I believe in him with everything that I have. And even though when I make a mistake, his scale of right and wrong accounts for that. And that's something that is perfect that we can't get anywhere else. We should be so thankful for that. We have a prize that we're getting. Of course you want God's right and wrong. If we're talking about all of eternity, you don't want to deal with your right and wrong. If we're talking about all of eternity, you don't want to be depending on the technicalities of it. You don't want to be depending on somebody changing. You don't want to be depending on any of that. You want to be depending on somebody who loves you so much where they know your heart. That's the right and wrong that we need. We can't make it without that right and wrong. Without that perfect, takes everything into account, right and wrong. We can't make it without that. And forever is the prize that we get. Hebrews 7:25, therefore, is able to save forever those who draw near to him through him, since he's always lived to make intercession for them. If we're going to have this forever prize, we want to make sure that it's right. And if you just want it to be technical, if you want somebody to judge you off of technicalities and say, oh, well, you did this wrong one time, then fine. You just don't want God to judge you like that at all. Our right and wrong is insufficient because we're not dealing with the whole picture. As we talked about with somebody shooting somebody, we don't know what somebody's intent is. And that's the part of the picture that we're always missing. You know, we get mad sometimes at our brothers and sisters in Christ. We get mad. I know I'm human. Sometimes people do things to me, and I'm like, why do they do that? Well, the part of the puzzle that I'm missing is I don't know their intentions. I don't know their thoughts. I don't know what's behind it. It could be that they're, you know, on another planet that day, you know, and they said something to me or whatever, and I just, like, took it that way, and I don't know what they were thinking. But see, God does, because God is the one that grants salvation. And we should be thankful for this, church, because, again, who else is going to give us a right and wrong like this? Who else? Where else are we going to get it for? I hope you understand this, and I hope that you appreciate it the way that I do, because we don't want another system of right and wrong, do we? We want God's, because his is the only one that can give us salvation. God's way is perfect. What else? What other system can you have that's going to look at what you do, also with how you believe, to make this perfect, righteous system? I can't think of anything else to do that. Church, I hope that this message has been good for you. It's been good to me. I learned a lot studying this. We should just be so in awe of our God who does all these things for us, that he came here and that Jesus came here and prepared the way for us and gave us all these things. And that's why Jesus kept coming and said, you need to worry about your heart, because your intentions really do matter. If you're here today and you're a Christian and things have not been, you know, going the way that they should be going because of what you've been doing, because you've made some mistakes, then ask for prayers of the church. Come forth and say, church and family, I need prayers from you. And Lord knows we can get you back on the right track. He can get you on the right path. And if you're not a Christian this morning, come forth and let that scale of God's right and wrong be on your side. You don't want God to be technical with you. because we've already done wrong. You want him to say, I know his heart, I know her heart, and he's trying the absolute best, and even though they fell short, I'm still going to give him an opportunity to be with me. That's the right and wrong that you want. If you're not a Christian, come forth, and we can talk to you about ways to be right with God. Whatever your needs may be, come now as we stand together and sing.